This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International, and it is time that we link up with our guest who is in Durban, Brother Idris Khamisa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, my beloved Mawlana?
Very well, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, shukr Idris bhai. How are you keeping this morning?
Okay, alhamdulillah. In fact, you know, I'm so disappointed. I was supposed to join the ulema and Sheikh Yawar Beg for Kruger National Park, you know. And I just came back from overseas and I just hurt my lower back, you know. So I was advised not to undertake this journey. And anyway, but I came over to Johannesburg just for a day or two. And inshallah, I pray that all goes well, and I'm sure the experience will be beneficial. There's so many lessons we can take from Allah's creation, and some things that we can apply even in our human lives, you know.
Mm-hmm. It seems that we are keeping on par with each other, because I was cycling on Sunday. I had a small little fall off the bicycle. It was in fact a stationary fall. I wasn't even moving, but I put my hand out to break the fall. And it turns out the wrist, the bone just beneath the thumb, was fractured. And the only way to get it 100% better would be to operate. So I'll have to have an operation either tomorrow or on Monday, inshallah.
Allah gave you shifa. You know, when you, especially at my age, even if you stretch your imagination, you get a sprain, you know.
Yes, yes. That's a good one. Yes, but just speaking about this, there was an article that I came across. In fact, I was on Twitter, somebody put it up, that a lady was made to wear the suit. The suit was designed to make her feel exactly like an old aged person. And by wearing the suit, she says that by the middle of the day she was ready to cry, and she just could not take it any further.
You know, Maulana, it's such a powerful story, because there are so many lessons to be learned from it. You know, old age, you know, they speak about the deprivations of old age. Old age is a time of loneliness, is a time when you lose your capacity to see clearly, to hear clearly. It's a second childhood. You are so dependent on people around you. And the loneliness is accentuated more so when people around you are supposed to give you comfort and succor. They find you as a burden, and old people are not idiots, you know. They can see to what extent the people around them are hypocritical or sincere in their support. So her crying is, what she has learned through wearing that attire is true empathy. And I pray, inshallah, that whoever this woman is, it makes her appreciate who she is, and make sure that whenever she sees old people, she treats them with kindness, compassion, and generosity. You know?
Mm-hmm. And this is it's called the old age simulation suit. And you know, just as I find it here, it's a suit that's designed to teach hospital staff how to treat and how it feels like to be an elderly person. And some of the things that they put on is goggles that simulate cataracts and reduce vision, ear defenders block out sound to simulate being hard of hearing, neck brace reduces head mobility and simulates having a stiff neck, vest which is full of weights to restrict movement and cause slouching, gloves that causes the hands to shake every now and then, leg splints restricts the knee to simulate joint stiffness, and oversized shoes contain weights to cause shuffling. And the person puts it on and gives an insight on how it is to feel like an old person. And, you know, this person put it on, and whether it's shopping, you know, like we would say that, okay, you know, just take a quick walk to the car, or why are you wasting there? Why are you dragging your feet? In actual fact, for that person, for that old person, it feels like actually a marathon just to walk a few meters.
In fact, you know, it's I'm so glad you're doing this, because I've been doing programs for hospitals, and I just had a meeting this morning with LenMed Hospital, and what I'm trying is to make help the nurses. We can understand that their tasks are often daunting. It's not very easy. You meet all kinds of patients, but at the same token, they need to understand that the significant qualities is of compassion, of communication, of empathy and sensitivity. And I think it's a great idea that these suits, you know, should be worn during the orientation program, and it'll give them a truer understanding of what the other person goes through. And this is, you know, one of the beautiful things about being human beings, is when you try to crawl under the skin of other people, then you can feel the pain, you can feel the anxiety, you can feel, you know, the sense of despondency and depression. And when that happens, then you are able to connect. Otherwise, what happens is that often when we speak to them, we are so glib. There is no emotional connection, there is no rapport. And in fact, it is a one-sided thing, and sometimes we tend to look down upon them, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it is, but yes, you know, you now with your little bit of a back injury that you have with my hand, it's only once you lose the use of any particular limb that you actually begin to appreciate how it is to live without that limb. You know how difficult, simple things become a chore, become a real task when you don't have use of something. These things, while they are a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in it there is great lesson for us as well, to be able to appreciate what people who don't have these limbs at all, what they go through on a daily basis.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, even if you look at your fingers, you know, and only we understand fully why Allah made us the way He did make us, you know. And if you lose, for example, sensation in your small finger, or you hurt it so badly, then and you cannot use it anymore, and you'll see the difficulty, the adjustment you got to make, and something we take for granted. And I think it's a lesson for us to be self-aware, to be always showing gratitude to Allah, thanking Him for the use of our limbs, for the clarity of our vision, for the lucidity of our mind, and most importantly about our own mobility and the ability to feel sensations. And I think these are everyday things that happen to us, but we show no appreciation, and I'm so glad we're talking about it, and perhaps you hope, inshallah, it heightens our sensitivity to this, you know.
Inshallah, Al-Aziz. Yes, and it is by over these weeks, going on to a different topic now, inshallah. Over these, well, since we've spoken, last week we spoke while you were in Dubai, the day before you returned. What counseling work have you done, and what would be of lesson for us?
You know, alhamdulillah, Maulana, I've got, you know, there are a number of points, and I think each one will be really a full program. And I want to start off in my preamble to say that what is happening to us, Maulana, what is happening to us, you know, when you deal with families when they cannot forgive each other, when the man or the woman do not show respect to each other, it really breaks your heart. It really breaks your heart. So there are about 8 or 9 topics. I'll just go through them, and we can look at each one, right? The one thing that is critical, and I often speak about, is reciprocal understanding, right? The other one that I want to talk about, when couples stay apart, what often happens is we look at the impact on their own relationship and the impact on the children. Also, the other issue, when mothers, you know, Allah bless all our mothers, who mollycoddle their sons, and especially those that are married. And also, you know, I'm sad to say sometimes, you know, the kind of behaviors of the sisters-in-law, you know, the brother's sister. The other issue we can talk about is about forgiveness. The other issue we can talk about rude behavior. The other issue is about, sadly, that our girls are now drinking and smoking. The other issue is about the degeneration of the Ummah. These, can you believe this, all of this in the space of one day. In the space of one day, I've been through all of this.
In one day, dealing with all of these different types of issues.
In one day, Maulana. One day. One day. One day. And I'm telling you, I don't know where we're going. I have no idea what role parents are playing, to what extent parents are really preparing their children for marriage, to what extent they're going for premarital counseling. How can we give our children unbridled freedom? You know, to what extent we're impacting on them, and to what extent we are showing respect for the institution of marriage. So these are all in one day. And you can imagine how heavy it is in your heart when you listen to all of this, you know. And it's even more disgruntling or disconcerting when there is stubbornness, you know. When there is stubbornness, when you're not prepared to say, you know what, I want to give it a chance. And one of the things I tell people, yes, well, divorce is something that is permissible, but is frowned upon. But there are also measures how you go through divorce. You do it with dignity, with calmness. You do not demean or ridicule. You're not spiteful. And you don't speak, you don't wash dirty linen in public, because none of us is perfect. None of us is perfect. And I'm saying this to you, Maulana. If every human being does not forgive, I wonder how many of our marriages will survive. How many of the marriages survive? And also what worries me, I'm speaking generally, that when people are human, they're going to make mistakes. But why do we sabotage our happiness at a moment, a romantic moment, a happy moment? You bring up issues of the past.
It is by the way that you are describing things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the ummah, and Allah ta'ala guide us all. The effect that we are taking from all the different things that are bombarding us, from media to cell phone usage to our social lives, whatever it may be, you know, all of these different things having such an effect on us that we are losing ourselves, we are losing our identity, or we've lost our identity, we don't know who we are.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, when I was just driving, this thought struck me, you know. I was looking at, you know, when we grew up, you know, and Maulana, we are not pretending to be angelic, you know. People have issues about us, and may Allah always protect us and hide our faults. We're not suggesting that, you know, no one is infallible. But I recall in the earlier days, you know, the thought of a son ever smoking in front of his father, no matter how old he was. I remember there was an old man in Shepston, right? I mean, elderly, our hometown. He was 60 odd years old at that time. His father was still living. His father was in his 80s. But he never used to, he never lit a cigarette in front of that father. Can you believe it? Right? But today, it is what was non-negotiable, unacceptable, now we say it's okay. You know, it's fine. Long as you're not smoking dhaka, long as you're not taking drugs. So our morality has become very relative. No, my son only smokes cigarettes. He's a good boy. You know? So now, and in everything, there's a degeneration. Sometimes we do not see it because it appears imperceptible. If you go to our wedding functions also, if you look at what was acceptable attire at one time, you know, nowadays it is regarded as ultra-conservative. And what we regarded at that time as lacking haya, immodesty, today is regarded as acceptable. And this is the whole point. We as a society, we are losing our moral compass. We are losing sight of what is right. And this is the whole point, you see. The point is, I think, sometimes we have forgotten why we are born. We have forgotten that we are going to die. We have forgotten that there should be consequences and accountability. And this is the point. See, the point is that, we really have to confront these. Otherwise, I shudder to think the kind of world that our children are going to grow up into.
You know, it's all about taking a decision. It's all about taking a step, making a change, and having that sense of acknowledgement first in that what we are doing, the direction we are going, and the path that we are taking is not right. It's not beneficial for us. It's harmful for our children. It's harmful for society. That's the first step. It is by the acknowledgement that we need to do.
Absolutely, and any motivational speaker will tell you, or any person will tell you, if you do not know where you are, then how do you know where you want to go to? You got to know where you are. You got to understand your state, your moral state, your spiritual state, and all of that. You need to understand, and you need, as you rightly said, to acknowledge it. You know, to say, yes, I'm doing wrong. But if you keep on being wrong, it becomes a natural part of your whole being. And this is a point, you see. The point is, and even in marriage, you know, you find that when the elders, when they got married, they realized they were imperfect, but they showed tremendous forbearance and tolerance. Now, today we are looking for a utopian ideal, an idyllic home. We're looking for nirvana, looking for Jannah on this earth, and yet we are not prepared to contribute to this harmony. We expect to sit back and be passive. And you and I know the grass always appears to be greener on the other side. And I always ask people, can you say, brother and sister, that both of you have given it a shot? You have done everything humanly possible to create some sanity, to show respect to each other. And what I tell people is this: you may believe you are the loving husband, the caring husband, but you must see it from the perspective of your wife. How does she perceive you? Similarly, how does he perceive you, sister? And that's important. And whatever is under your control, we should do. What's out of your control, you cannot expect a person to take responsibility for things that are out of his control. And I'm really pleading to people that when you say, I forgive, do not ever speak about it again. You forgive. When Allah forgives, it's over, it's erased. Khalas, it's finished. Move on. Make new mistakes. Rekindle the passion. Rekindle that love. Be romantic. Be loving. Be caring. Have a routine. You know, do beautiful things together. Have your private moments, you know. And also respect the fact that your husband is someone's son. He also has responsibility towards his own parents, right? Therefore, when you have a routine, a weekly plan, then it is quite clear and transparent, you know. I'm not saying one has to be mechanical or mechanistic. I'm not suggesting that if it says that your mom and dad are a few kilometers away, that we said we'll visit them once a week. It does not mean only once a week. If you can visit twice, why not? Or sometimes every second week, depending on the situation. And parents must allow the young couples to find each other, to understand each other, not to pressurize them, you know. Because sadly, when sometimes when our daughters go to their own parents' home, when they come back a little more militant and bellicose, and they want to be like warriors, you know. So these are things that worries me. Because one of the best gifts you can give your children is to teach them the dynamics of relationships.
Yes, it says gone 29 minutes before 12. It is by going to welcome our listeners to SMS. You're most welcome to send any questions, queries, any comments that you may have on the issues that we are discussing. to the SMS number 0731734461. You can also SMS Idris by directly on his number on 0828251991, and you can call us as well on 011-854-1548 and join in on the discussion. This is why we're going to take a short break now, inshallah. When we come back, we'll continue with this. Stay tuned to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International.
Attention all traders, supermarkets and spazas. Visit Devlin Cash & Carry for all your deep cut specials on all listed groceries. Distributors of the widest range of household detergents and perishable goods. Open 7 days a week. Devlin Cash & Carry. Call 011-989-8800. Corner Klepkas and Piston Road, Devlin.
Yo ya no quiero, gracias.
Yo te voy a decir, para mí, ese aquí es un buen jugador.
Está bien, me rindo.
No matter where you come from or what language you speak, Perez Motor Spares is the place to go. We stock motor spares and car accessories of high standards at an impressive price. Years of experience in the motor spares industry ensures that you get the best advice. Perez Motor Spares, 48 Peter 8th Avenue, Alberton North.
Call us on 011-901-3100.
There's even more reason to visit Southern Toyota Lanesia with these exclusive deals. New generation Toyota Corollas, launch special, free license registration, smash and grab, free extended warranty, 4 years, 150,000 kilometer on all Corollas. Prices from 214,900 rands for the 1.3, 1.4 diesel, 249,900, 1.6, 241,900, and 1.8, 272,900. Valid till 31st March, subject to availability. Southern Toyota, Connor K43 and Nirvana Drive, Tradroot Mall.
Welcome back to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International, and Idris Bhai, welcome back to the program.
Idris, welcome, Mona. Always good to hear your voice. His sister sent a message now. She says that, well, you know, whenever I forgive my husband, make maaf, he takes me for granted, he continues with his way of life. And this is a point. You see, the point is this, no person should be allowed to do things with impunity. I think it's important when there's a recurrence of a pattern of behavior, then you need to go for counseling, where the counselor or whoever she is or he is will sit them down in paper and make them sign a kind of pledge or contract, right? And that's fundamental, because there has to be consequences and there has to be accountability. And remember, sister, the critical thing in life is this, that you should not allow that to diminish who you are. You must always continue to do what is right. The issue has to be confronted. And inshallah, what is important that you need to talk to your husband to help him, you know, to do the right things. But he cannot do it with impunity, as I said. There comes a time when the respective families must come into the picture, no matter how long they've been married, and it's important that is discussed. Again, the other critical point is this. This must not become part of a public discourse that the neighbors, everyone comes to know about it. You must never, ever do that. And I'm not suggesting you doing that, sister, but anyone for that matter.
Mm-hmm. I received another SMS here, Idris Bhai, that how can one be romantic or have privacy when the husband sits by the TV from the time he gets home from work until 11 p.m.?
Yeah. This is another issue that many of our sisters have, and therefore, you know, I would like all of them, you know, I suggested to one couple the other day, they must develop what I call a family routine. And part of the family routine is, you know, that me time, that togetherness. And I said to them that they must not go to the bedroom when they are tired, when they, you know, and just when they want to go and sleep. And you find that the television is not an anesthetic, it induces sleep, it tires you, makes your mind lazy, and it is it does not stimulate you in terms of some of the things that one needs to do, you know. So it's important that they go to bed reasonably early, they can spend time, when they can connect with each other and be romantic. And this is the whole point, you know. I think sometimes, and may Allah forgive all of us, that we forget that we are not individuals, but in marriage we are together. It's a partnership, it's a sacred trust, it's one relationship that will continue beyond our death. And therefore, I don't think it's fair. Really not. I don't think it is definitely unfair when people adopt these attitudes, you know, attitudes of indifference. When the wife is pining for the husband, she wants to connect with him emotionally and physically, and then he does this. And television really it can destroy marriage. It stunts your imagination. It erodes your self-esteem. It affects your attention. There are many, many negative aspects sitting there, and especially for so long, it affects your health, it affects you psychologically. And so I pray that we rekindle our passion and our love, inshallah.
Inshallah, Aziz. Yes, Idrube, coming back to what we were discussing initially, that where have we gone wrong and what have we lost? You know, I think the basic, it comes down to our relationship with our Creator. And this is what will then mend all other relationships. And as long as we are connected with Allah Ta'ala, everything else in our lives will come right. As long as we've lost our relationship with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then everything else in our life is also not going to work out for us.
What you're saying is so true. When I was driving this morning from Lanesha, I'm not just saying that I am now the benchmark for spirituality. I was making zikr, you know, and I was saying astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. As I was saying it, I said, you know, when you make zikr, when you put Allah into your heart, you got no place for anything else. You know, there's no place. It's impossible to make zikr and to have an immoral thought. You know, you can't do it. You know, it doesn't work, because the power of Allah in your heart is all encompassing, you see. And what you're saying is so true, that we have forgotten our Creator, and we have not really strengthened our own relationship with Allah. We have forgotten that we are born be a life of test, and sometimes we forget that we are people, we are human beings, and we have a mortal life. It's not infinite. So what you're saying is so true. And therefore, I think what is significant, you find that, you know, whilst some homes, they perform the rituals, but it is still done mechanically. It's not done, you know, when we pray to Allah, when we read our salah properly, that salah ought to have a moderating effect on your behavior. It should have a salutary effect on your behavior. It should impact positively on your attitudes and your values, you know.
Mm-hmm. And that when we have that connection with Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, then it's definitely going to impact on every aspect of our lives, whether it comes to our ibadat, whether it comes to our social lives, whether it comes to our marriages, whether it comes to our parenting, whatever it may be. As long as we are connected and we have that yaqeen in Allah, that conviction in Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, that is definitely the solution to all our problems.
No, absolutely, Maulana, what you're saying is so true. And it's, and we must do, I mean, therefore we said, you know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reminded us to die before our death, you know. So it's something that we need to reflect on a daily basis. Where are we spiritually? If we were to die this very moment, will Allah be pleased with us? And I think it's clear, all of us know exactly where we are. We know our dark side, we know our moments, and sometimes we slip, you know, and there are moments when we reach a height of spirituality. And the whole issue is about consistency, is about doing things right and doing the right things, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The other issues that you spoke about, drinking and smoking among young girls.
Yes, you know what, this is becoming really, I'm not saying everyone is doing it, and but it's a growing minority, the growing minority. And often what happens, I feel that you cannot give your children unbridled freedom. you have to, there has to be consequences. You ought to know who they are staying with, who are their friends, and a whole range of things must take place. Because you find that the world is a very seductive, alluring world. We find that and drinking in many cultures is something, it's a norm, it's acceptable. And sadly, you know, when our children have not been given the effective antidotes, where they have not understood clearly why we're supposed to stay, desist from it, we sometimes get caught in the trap. And I've yet to come across any individual of their own accord and volition will buy a drink. It's precisely because of the friends they keep. And I think it's very, very fundamental. It is imperative that we as parents should be the role model for our children, and we need to guide them. And I'm not suggesting that every time a child does something wrong is necessary the parents are accountable for that. And sometimes kids do make mistakes. Sometimes it is an aberration. You ask any person looking around, you just have to go to visit some of the places and whatnot. And what is even more shocking is when some of them will thumb their nose at society, mm-hmm. and they'll do it quite openly. So that's really a worrying factor.
Elizabeth, we have a caller online. Can we take the caller?
Yeah, please.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mawlana, how are you, Mawlana?
Alhamdulillah, shukar yourself.
Alhamdulillah, how's Brother Idris? Well?
Very.
Make dua for us.
Alhamdulillah. Mawlana, some input regarding to marriages, right? You know, when a marriage takes place, we tie a knot for eternal. That we, you know, we make those marriages, we bring up our children in an Islamic manner and so forth, and we expect that marriage, inshallah, to last forever. But I really appreciate Brother Idris's input all the time, and wherever he goes with his workshops, subhanallah, a great work being shown. And you know, there's a lot of outcome from his workshops. But my little input in this is that if the boy is a mama's boy or mommy's boy, then to get involved in a marriage is really a difficult issue, because that begins to interfere into marriages. Now, we are giving marriage, alhamdulillah, we had recently a marital workshop in Indonesia. It was outstanding. We're giving marriages, we're giving these workshops, alhamdulillah, full support. And we are giving it for children, young boys, young girls. I mean, we are getting some daughters from other families in our homes who are daughter-in-laws. We're giving our daughters to somebody else who become their daughter-in-laws. Now, the input, the point I want to drive you, Mawlana, is that these marriages that we do, I mean, these workshops, these are for, we're doing for the loving birds, the two loving birds who want to get married. But the problem comes when parents or extended families begin to interfere in the matters.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we need to address. We need to give workshops to father-in-laws, mother-in-laws, and so forth. We need to give workshops to extended families. I mean, I'm saying, Mawlana, in the same tone that we're looking for good marriages, lasting marriages, I think we should create a course where individuals, for example, as a boy is getting married or a girl is getting married, mm-hmm. let us have a workshop for them in personal. Call them up, give them a workshop for at least a week or 2 weeks before, in personal.
Mm-hmm.
And inshallah, that will help, because what's happening, the couple are happy, they want to carry on with their life, they're ready, even though difficulties come upon them, they want to carry on. But the interference of parents, that mm-hmm. is the problem, and that is creating, and I why I'm saying this, Mawlana, mm-hmm. I don't want any other family really to have a breakup in a marriage. And then, that's the first point. Mm-hmm. Second point, Mawlana, mm-hmm. is that let the professionals do the profession job. I mean, a person in a salon, let him cut their hair. A person like Brother Idris, he's doing professional work, let him do that. But let even in ulama, if the ulama cannot handle a case of a marriage, then give it to those who can handle it. Not mm-hmm. giving directives or saying that, you know what, looks like your marriage won't work, now you go for an istikhara. It doesn't work, Maulana.
Mm-hmm.
Istikhara is done before marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Not when to throw in for a talaq, you want to give a istikhara, Maulana.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my input, and Maulana, really very seriously I'm saying from my heart.
G-G.
This need to be worked out very well. I request Brother Idris to create workshop for parents, especially for parents, when they want to get married. So give them some input, inshallah.
Okay. Brother, assalamu alaikum. Allah bless you for your input. For your information, I offer premarital counseling. I speak to the couples. I give them 100 questions they need to answer. Then I meet with their respective in-laws. I do all of that.
Alhamdulillah.
I do that. But the other point that you raised is about interference of parents. And one of the issues I raised, when mothers mollycoddle their sons, they begin to show so much of possession, even the son is married, then the son has to make a choice between his mother and the wife. And I think that is grossly, grossly wrong. You had an opportunity with your son, you love him, he loves you, and that conflict must never take place, because I deal with so many cases, the daughter says, he has chosen his mother over me. He tells his mother much more than he tells me. And she hears something through the mother. And these are unacceptable things. I think, therefore, we speak about Shura. And what worries me, the divorce rate is so unbelievable. And sadly, parents themselves, either they're emasculated, they tell their sons and the daughters, whatever decision you make, I'll support you. And what kind of father are you? You've got to make an effort to reconcile. Don't do the work of Shaitan. Shaitan is doing his bit. You need to be the antidote. You need to call the respective families together and say, listen, let's try to work it out. Yes, when there are times when you have tried everything humanly possible with hikmah and wisdom, and you realize that this cannot be done, if that decision is made in Shura, then it's another matter altogether.
Brother Idris, Jazakallah for your input. I appreciate it. Maybe this has been done in the Durban area. I don't know about the Johannesburg area. But Brother Idris, and especially ulama need to handle and lead here in these matters. I'm also an alim, but I'm saying that we need to get to that point where if I can handle it, alhamdulillah, let me handle it. If I cannot handle it, let me pass it to somebody who can handle this.
No, alhamdulillah, I'll just give you some other news. I offered two things to three Darul Ulums. Two of them accepted it immediately. The one is, I met Maulana Shabir Salaji this morning. I'm going to do a three-hour program on the art of public speaking. And inshallah, I'm also going to do a counseling course for the ulema there. So alhamdulillah, he's been very receptive. Allah bless him. And also the Newcastle. So fi sabilillah, and I'm prepared. I'm not saying I have the monopoly of knowledge, but I'm prepared to share those skills. And Allah bless our ulema. They're trying very, very hard. But counseling itself requires special skills, special knowledge. And inshallah, and I pray they embrace the Darul Ulums so that our respective alims, you know, when they are participating in this, they'll be able to handle the dynamics, inshallah.
Inshallah, amin. Jazakumullah khairan, may Allah reward you in abundance for all the good work. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's just got 10 to 12. We need to take a short break, and we'll be back just after that, inshallah.
فهم الوجود فهم الوجود وجود باهي نبي ولود
نبي ولود
إذا المرء لم يبلو حب الإله فلن يعرف المرء ماذا يريد وبالحب سر الحياة العميق سيبدو جليا ويحلو الطريق ويبدو لنا الكون حلو السماء ويغدو صديقا ونعم الصديق لعل القلوب تؤوب إليه.
Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Idris Bhai, welcome back to you. interesting points raised by the other day, by Maulana, in fact.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. I just got one SMS, and I'll have to leave at 5 to 12, Maulana, right?
Yeah.
This one point here is the sister writes, I hope you can hear me.
Yeah.
One second. Look. Islam Idris Bhai, when my married son has a problem with his wife, it gets very ugly. I try to intervene for the best for them, then his wife and her family say I'm interfering. But her mom speaks to her with this knowledge, and I speak to both of them. I don't know how to handle the street. Please advise, right? You got that?
Right.
So my suggestion is a very important thing, you see. Therefore, part of premarital counseling is you decide if there is a conflict, how to deal with it. Now, secondly, another critical thing, every time you have an issue, don't run to your parents, man. Why are you burdening them? See how best you can handle it quickly initially. Do not allow it to fester and you get very, very upset about it. Get an objective person. The Quran is very, very clear. You get from both sides of the parties, you get them together and to deal with the situation, right? So now, also, as mothers, if you know there are some sensitivities that your daughter-in-law gets upset, she takes exception, then move away. Just move away. Move away.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Make dua for them. That's what, move away. And do not say, okay, fine. Yeah, okay, his mother knows everything and why me and what not. Do not allow that to diminish your ego. Your prime interest must be, let's see how we can help this young couple. They are, you know, young, innocent, naive. They do not know much about the world. They have pure romantic notions of life. And they forget that marriage requires a lot of hard work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's very important to be supportive of them, you know.
Yes, we have a caller online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Walaikum salam. How are you, Brother Idris and Maulana?
Alhamdulillah.
Brother Idris, the brother who phoned and he said about the in-laws and all of them interfering. How true it is, Brother Idris. We mothers and fathers, we play very, very important role in our children's life. Because once we go according to the Sharia and we go according to all the rules, it's guaranteed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there will be peace and harmony and happiness in the family, Brother Idris. And I say it from the bottom of my heart because I'm also a mother-in-law. I also had a mother-in-law who was wonderful. And as you say, sister-in-laws also, you know, the husband's sister. If you control them from the start, what my mother did to us, when my sister-in-laws, we were there, she used to say, you all are visitors in my house, do not interfere with your sister-in-law here. She's the man in this thing here. She's cooking. We can't even open the pot, Brother Idris, to go in the kitchen.
No. Allah.
Gives us anything, she can give. My mother will never, ever go in the kitchen and say, today we made this, you take this or you take that. No. But my sister-in-law, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, put that love into her heart. You see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works. If you control yourself and you work your Sharia way, my sister-in-law used to give us. It's so easy for my mother also. You see what I'm trying to say? So this is what I'm saying. We mother-in-laws play a very, very important part. I have three daughter-in-laws. And I've got in my hand already that Maulana Abdul Hamid Ishaq Asadzil, he has put a paper in his website, downloaded from there. I won't read it to you, it's quite long. One whole paper is for the mother-in-law, one whole paper is for the daughter-in-law. And every line there is 100%. If people practice upon that, I tell you, every home will be 100%. They must go to the website and give that to her. Mother-in-law must read that for her, and the daughter-in-law must read that for her, and there will be peace and harmony in the house. You go to Sharia way, and everything is there. I'm not going to tell you what you spoke just now. All the things are there, but they have to follow that to bring peace and harmony. And then when you have Jannat in your home, there's no need for anything. Assalamu alaikum.
Jazakumullahu khairan.
Jazakumullah to the sister. In fact, I'm dealing with one case where the father thinks his daughter will do nothing wrong, you know. So she's not married. So she interferes in the relationship between her brother and his wife. And I mean, this is ridiculous, you know. You do not own your brother. He's your biologically connected, you know. You do not own him. You cannot do things that are antithetical to Islam. You do not create suspicion. I think it's important that we need to understand that we have a role to play, a role of supportive role, a nurturing role, you know. So Allah make it easy for everyone, inshallah.
Inshallah, Aziz. It is by Jazakumullah Khairan for your time this morning. It's time for you to go as well. And Allah Ta'ala reward you. Inshallah, we'll speak next week.
Inshallah, and Maulana, look after yourself, right? Don't take any medicine. Allah give you shifa.
Ameen.
Look after you and protect you always, Maulana. Allah bless you, eh?
Ameen, ameen. Jazakumullah khairan. It is by you. Keep well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just 4 minutes before 12, shukran jazilan for listening to Al Mashariq on Radio Islam International. All those who contributed to the program, may Allah reward you. And inshallah, our dua from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Allah ta'ala grant us all peace and harmony, unity, muhabbah, love, affection, compassion, empathy, sympathy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the mubarak characteristics and traits of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala grant us all happiness in our lives and goodness in this world and the hereafter. Shukran for listening to Al Mashriq. Shukran to my studio operator, Samih Jad. From Chennai, Jasatu, Assalamu Alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.